أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل ادعوا الله أو ادعوا الرحمن، أيما تدعوا فله الأسماء الحسنى، ولا تجهر بصلاتك ولا تخافت بها وابتغ بين ذلك سبيلا، وقل الحمد لله الذي لم يتخذ ولدا ولم يكن له شريك ولم يكن له شريك في الملك ولم يكن له ولي من الذل ولم يكن له ولي من الذل وكبره تكبيرا. We are on the last two ayahs of Surah Bani Israel, and basically it's going to be a brief lesson today. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and you've probably noticed the theme as the surah has progressed, that the majority of the surah is addressing the disbelievers and their objections against the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Here also the same thing is happening. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, قُلْ اِدْعُوا الرَّحْمَنِ. Tell them, O Prophet of Allah, make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or make dua to Ar-Rahman. أَيَّمَّا تَدْعُوا فَلَهُ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى. Whichever name you use, or whichever name you call, then for him are beautiful names. So there are a couple of riwayat which are associated with this ayah. One of the riwayat that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, one day he was praying salat, and while he was in sajda, he was making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala using the words, Ya Allah, Ya Rahman. Ya Allah, Ya Rahman. One of the mushrikeen heard this, and in the morning he started propagating amongst the people, saying that, look at this man. He tells us to only worship Allah, and he insults our gods and tells us not to worship them, and he tells us only one God, but yet you hear him making dua, saying, Ya Allah, Ya Rahman. He's calling out to two gods. So according to this riwayah, this ayah was revealed because of that, to tell the people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has many beautiful names that he can be called, and you can call out using those names, including Allah, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, and so on. So this is one riwayah. Another riwayah suggests that there was a person who used to be in Yemen, who used to be a mushrik, and he used to be known as Rahman. And when people heard the Prophet ﷺ saying, Ya Allah, Ya Rahman, they said, who is it that you're calling out to? Are you calling out to your God, or are you calling out to that person, Rahman, who lives in Yemen? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this, that Rahman is not the name. It may be the name of a person by coincidence, but it is the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you call to Rahman, you are actually calling out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. So Allah says here, قُلْ اِدْعُوا اللَّهَ أَوْ اِدْعُوا الرَّحْمَنِ. Tell them, O Prophet of Allah, call out to, or make dua to Allah, or make dua to Rahman. أَيَّمَّا تَدْعُوا فَلَهُ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى. Whichever one you call to, then indeed for him, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, are beautiful names. وَلَا تَجْهَرْ بِصَلَاتِكَ وَلَا تُخَافِتْ بِهَا وَبْتَغِي بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ سَبِيلًا. And do not raise your voice with the salat, and do not suppress it, and seek a middle way between the two. And there are a few riwayat about this also. One understanding is that it refers to all of the five times daily salat. That do not make jahr in all five salats. Jahr means to read the qiraat loudly. Don't make jahr in all of the salats, all five of the salats. And also don't make khaft in all of the salats, meaning don't make them all sirri, meaning quiet. But in Maghrib, Isha, Fajr, do jahr, meaning read it loudly, and in Dhuhr and Asr, read it slowly. Okay, so this is one meaning of this ayah. So the Prophet ﷺ used to read loudly in those salats, in Fajr, Isha, and Maghrib, and he used to suppress in Dhuhr and Asr. Also, there's a riwayat that suggests that Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, whenever he used to pray, he used to suppress his voice low. And when he was asked, and Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he used to raise his voice up loudly. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu was asked, لِمَ تَسْنَعُ هَذَا? Why do you do this? Why do you suppress your voice so low? He said, أُنَاجِي رَبِّي عَزَّ وَجَلْ وَقَدْ عَنِمَ حَاجَتِي. I am whispering to my Lord, and He is more knowing of my needs. So I don't need to raise my voice so loud. Only He hears it, only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hears it, and that is sufficient for me. And he was told, Ahsant. The Prophet ﷺ told him, you're doing good. Umar radiallahu ta'ala was asked, لِمَ تَسْنَوْ هَذَا? Why do you do this? Why do you raise your voice so loud? He said that I want to scare off the shayateen and I want to wake up the people who are sleeping. That I read loudly. And he was also told, Ahsant, you are doing a good job. So both ways were approved by the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. And then this ayah was revealed. وَلَا تَجْهَرْ بِصَلَاتِكَ بِهَا وَابْتَغِي بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ سَبِيلًا. Meaning, don't go to either extreme. Don't raise your voice so loud that it becomes uncomfortable for people, and don't suppress it to a degree that nobody can hear it. It should be done in a way that when you're reading Quran or when you're leading the salat, it should be comfortable for people to hear. So this is what it's meant by وَلَا تَجْهَرْ بِصَلَاتِكَ وَلَا تُخَافِدْ بِهَا وَبِتَغِي بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ سَبِيلًا. Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that this ayah was revealed not about salat itself, but it was revealed about dua. When a person makes dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he should do it in such a way that he is conversing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not completely in his heart, and not out loud that he's disturbing other people, but basically in a way that he's saying something but also not disturbing others. So this is one understanding. There are other riwayats about this issue also. It's a riwayat in Bukhari. Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala who says that this ayah was revealed while the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was in Mecca. And whenever he used to pray with his companions, he used to raise his voice with the Quran. And the mushrikun, when they used to hear the Quran, they used to start cursing him and also cursing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, cursing Jibreel alayhi salam, and so on. So this ayah was revealed that you don't have to read it so loud that the mushrikeen can hear it. You can do it in such a way that only the immediate people around you are hearing it. So this is according to a riwayat of Bukhari. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha also says that it was revealed about dua, making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Ibn Jarir also says the same thing. Now how can you combine between those two riwayat? One says it was about salat and the recitation of the Quran in salat, and another says that it was about dua. Aisha radiallahu anha, and also Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, says it was about dua. So the scholars have combined the two and said that maybe the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was praying, and in the course of praying the salat, he was making dua at the same time, like qunut or in sajda and so on. So this is the understanding that we have. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that وَلَا تَجْهَرْ بِصَلَاتِكَ, do not raise your voice in salat or dua, and do not suppress it too much. وَبَتَغِي بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ سَبِيلًا, seek between the two a way, meaning a middle path between the two. وَقُلِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي لَمْ يَتَّخِذْ وَلَدًا وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ شَرِيكٌ فِي الْمُلْكِ وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ وَلِيٌّ مِّنَ الذُّلْ وَكَبِّرْهُ تَكْبِيرًا. This ayah basically summarizes the whole surah and whatever was mentioned in the surah about the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the fact that He doesn't have any helper, He doesn't have any child, and the belief that we are supposed to have in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as related to His tawheed. So basically all of the ayat that we've read arguing against the mushrikeen and the arguments of the mushrikeen and their beliefs and their claims and their demands and so on. This basically sums up the answer that you have to give to the disbelievers about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that this is what your belief is supposed to be, and if your belief is not according to this, then your belief is not intact, it is not complete. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and tell them, O Prophet of Allah, Alhamdulillahi alladhi lam yattakhidh walada. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who did not take any child. So Alhamdu, this Alif Lam, it is actually, there are different forms of Alif Lam if you study Arabic. And one form is known as istighraq, that all praise is due. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who, alladhi lam yattakhidh walada, did not take any son. So this goes against the belief of any person that believes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had a child. Okay, we've mentioned before that some of the mushrikeen of Makkah, they used to say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has daughters, and the angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are in fact his daughters. So this was one belief that this counters. The other belief it counters is the belief of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, the Christians who believe that Isa alayhi salatu wasalam was, na'udhu billah, the son of God. That's the second thing. The third thing, some Jews, not all Jews, but a faction of Jews, they used to believe that Uzair radiallahu ta'ala anhu was the son of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So to counter this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly says, لَمْ يَتَّخِذْ وَلَدًا, he didn't take any child. وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ شَرِيكٌ فِي الْمُلْكِ, there is nobody associated with him in the kingdom. Meaning nobody is equal to him in the kingdom, nobody can be equivalent to him in the kingdom. لَوْ كَانَ فِيهِمَا آلِهَةٌ إِلَّا اللَّهِ لَفَسَدَتَ, if there were more gods than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then there would be corruption in the earth. Meaning there will be a disagreement between these gods, that how do we run the affairs? Should it rain? Should it shine? Should we have a hurricane? Should we have a storm? Should we reward? Should we punish? Should we wait? So there would be a corruption between the two. So if there were more than one God. Now somebody might object to this and say that, okay, just imagine there is more than one God and they both agree with each other in something. Alright, they both agree to do whatever it is that they want to do. So surely it's still a possibility, right? So, because Allah says that if there were more than one God, then there would be corruption on the earth and the skies. So what if, instead of arguing with each other, they agreed with each other? So the answer to that is this, and keep this point in mind, it's very important, that if, say for example, one God says rain, the other says sun, okay, then one of them basically submits and says, okay, it's your choice, you do it, you do what you want to do. So this other one, other God, submitting to the other one is actually showing a sign of weakness, okay? So showing a sign of weakness for a God is not worthy for a God, okay? Because God cannot be weak, cannot be suppressed, cannot be commanded to do anything. So again, this principle of agreement doesn't work either. Because one agreeing with the other and submitting to the other is actually a sign of his weakness, and a weak God cannot be a God. Okay, so keep that point in mind. So وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ شَرِيكٌ فِي الْمُلْكِ, there cannot be any sharik, any partner in his kingdom. وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ وَلِيٌّ مِنَ الذُّلِّ, and there can be no ally for him in the time of assistance, meaning nobody, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is never in need for an ally, somebody to help him, somebody to assist him. Nobody, that is not worthy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَكَبِّرْهُ تَكْبِيرًا, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, proclaim his greatness. وَكَبِّرْهُ تَكْبِيرًا, meaning when you say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the greatest, then he is greater than all of his creation. He is greater than anything that you think is great. Allah is greater. When we say Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, We are proclaiming His greatness, that He is greater than everything and anything. Okay? Allahu Akbaru min kulli shay. He is greater than everything and anything. Some scholars say, why do we say Allahu Akbar four times at the beginning of the Adhan? Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. There are basically four components of the world, according to the old understanding, that the earth is made up of wind, fire, and water, and earth. Okay, so the combination of these four, basically people are believing that this is what everything is made up of. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is bigger than all of these components. Allah is greater than all of these components. This is one theory, but nevertheless, Kabbirhu takbir, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, continue to glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do not suppress yourself, do not submit yourself to the claims of the other people who glorify anything other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If people have anything other than the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their hearts, this is a weakness of iman, and they will not be able to practice the religion as they should be. The reason that we cannot practice the religion as we should is because we have the greatness of the world in our hearts. We have the greatness of our job in our hearts. We have the greatness of the business in our hearts. We have the greatness of the work in our hearts, our money in our hearts. And that is why when it comes to prioritizing between the religion, between the deen and the worldly things, it becomes easy for us. Because we have not attained that greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our hearts. So this is the thing that we need to be striving for, that the iman in our heart becomes so strong that nothing else is important to us when it comes to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is what that ayah says, right? قُلْ إِنْ كَانَ آبَاؤُكُمْ وَأَبْنَاؤُكُمْ وَإِخْوَانُكُمْ وَأَزْوَاجُكُمْ وَعَشِيرَتُكُمْ وَأَمْوَالٌ اقْتَرَفْتُمُوهَا وتجارة تخشون كسادها ومساكن ترضونها أحب إليكم من الله ورسوله وجهاد في سبيله فتربصوا حتى يأتي الله بأمره والله لا يهدي القوم الفاسقين. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala counted every single thing that you could have love for. Your parents, your children, your brothers, your sisters, your wives, your houses, your wealth, your business, everything and anything that you could have love for, you know, it should not, that love for those things should not be more than the love for Allah and His Prophet and striving in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if it is, Allah says, فَتَرَبَّسُوا, wait, حَتَّى يَأْتِي اللَّهُ بِأَمْرِ, until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends His command down for His punishment. Okay? So, this is what is meant by كَبِّرْهُ تَكْبِيرًا, that we should glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and understand His greatness to such a degree that everything else basically shades in comparison to the command and the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. With that, inshallah, we finish. We had a very short lesson today because these were the two remaining ayat. The surah has now been completed. Inshallah, next week we'll start a new surah. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us tawfiq to understand and practice what has been said and heard.
How's your trip been so far? Hold on. Let's take a look.